So I thought, just to get everyone on the same page, I'll just read the dust jacket because I think it actually does a good job, which says, our competitive service-oriented societies are taking a toll on the late modern individual. Rather than improving life, multitasking, user-friendly technology, and the culture of convenience are producing disorders that range from depression to attention deficit disorder to borderline personality disorder. Byung-Chul Han interprets the spreading malaise as an inability to manage negative experiences in an age characterized by excessive positivity and the universal availability of people and goods. So stress and exhaustion are a result, obviously, as we said, but it's interesting the way he uses the terms positive and negative here. It's not like positive means happy and negative means unhappy. It's rather what kind of information you receive in like a positive feedback loop or a negative feedback loop. Or in Foucault's disciplinary society, you're told no in terms of the space that you're allowed to inhabit. If you cross the boundary into the space that you're not allowed to be in, that's when you're punished. If you act crazy, then you're put into the asylum, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And in a positive, his version of positivity means that you can't filter information or negative information out anymore, because you have to say yes to everything. You have to react to everything. And that's kind of where what Matt's talking about in terms of Twitter comes in here. You have to have an opinion on everything. You're asked for your opinion at all times a day. And you have to have an opinion to almost be the commodity, the presence commodity that you are. Mm. And I kind of find it funny that we're doing a podcast and YouTube, because doing exactly what you have to do, because being an academic's not good enough anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I should say there's also an interesting critique of performativity in his work, right? This kind of pastiche-like self-performance that we engage in to transform our personalities and our internal life into social capital. But it's really very different than the kind of performativity that you see somebody like Judith Butler arguing for, where performativity can be kind of a self-conscious attempt to play with your personality or play with your identity, develop it in certain aesthetically intriguing ways. This is a kind of performativity that's relentlessly pushed upon you by the society that you live in. And mm-hmm. oftentimes it's not necessarily something you even want to engage in, but it's something that you feel compelled to do, like you're playing out the script. Right?
Well, it's interesting because it reminds me like the pressure that we feel, like the social pressure, you know, and this transition from, you know, the disciplinary society to the achievement society. It kind of reminded me of that transition that Zizek sometimes talks about in psychoanalysis, you know, before talked about how like psychoanalysts in Freud's time, right, would talk about how like patients, like analysands, their problem would often be a problem of having too much desire that they can't suppress, like they're supposed to in society, right? So they feel ashamed for having too much desire, because the social pressure is to push it in. But now it's like the opposite, where people, analysands, are finding that they're anxious and ashamed of not having enough desire. So they feel the social pressure to have desire to enjoy more things, you know, have more weird, like try out new sexual experiments, do more things and like, you know, fulfill all your desires. Yeah. But then people will feel shame if they're like, well, I don't really have these desires and like these messages that I'm supposed to be enjoying all these things.
Yeah.
I don't really want to. So maybe there's something wrong with me.
Get a hobby, start a business on the side, make sure you're investing your money. You have to constantly be saying yes to things that you didn't even know you had to say yes for.
Exactly. So you're it's like you're supposed to be unsatisfied with all these things. You're supposed to have more desire for things now.
It's Hegelian in a way too. He says Hegel is one of the most important philosophers from him. So you also take the negative positive thing in a Hegelian fashion as well. So in the old way, the old society, right, is characterized by a dialectic of negativity. And just to give an example, I feel like 9/11 might have been like the culmination of this, right? The idea of setting up an other who is foreign, who is outside you, who is elsewhere, someone who's an invader, or even, I mean, you can just keep switching frames, an immunological perspective, right? A virus is an other. It's something outside of you that we have to defend against. And the negativity is because that thing wants to enter you, whatever you may be, your body, your community, your society, whatever it may be, and negate you, right? And then in order to assert yourself against this sort of violence of the other, you have to assert your being, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to negate the negation. That's a famous phrase from Hegel, negating the negation. Whereas the problem we're faced with today, which I think is different, like 9/11, right, set up an other. Whereas today what we're experiencing is this excess of positivity, not of negativity and otherness, but of positivity and sameness. And so that struggle almost goes inside of us.
And this was all a lot more true than like about 3 weeks ago than it is now.
Yeah, because we're in the midst of a pandemic and this immunological view, maybe we're not done with it, I don't know. But in any case, the positivity is the positive society, this achievement society is a war with yourself, basically. Like, why can't I do this? Why am I so tired? Why don't I give a shit about anything? And you feel bad about it. And you don't question society. You think it's your failure. Your lack of positivity, in a sense, is your own demon now. And and the struggle goes inside. And he gives a great example of the master-slave dialectic, right? Like, everyone today is their own master and slave at the same time. The struggle is real, and it's inside you. And if you feel like being lazy and doing nothing, and there's a voice in your head saying, get up and go, get up and do this, and it's making you anxious or neurotic or depressed, that's what he's talking about. We're living in this burnout society, which is just the flip side of the coin of the achievement society, is that the losers and the failures are the ones who can't live up to the expectations that are put on them by society at large.
I'll frame it a different way, right? Like, there was an interesting moment in the biography by Steven Schwarzman, who, you know, is the CEO of several major companies and a multi-billionaire. And Schwarzman in the book talks about a discussion he had with his dad, who owned a small drugstore. And his dad had a comfortable middle-class life. And Schwarzman goes to him and basically is like, why don't you actually market this more effectively? Because we can take your little drugstore and make it huge. And the dad responded by saying, why would I want to do that? It'll be more work for me. I'm happy. I have two cars. I have a nice house. I sent my kids to college. And that's enough. And Schwarzman's takeaway from this, it wasn't actually that his dad was right. He actually says his dad lacked entrepreneurial drive, which is why he never became as successful as his son. Right? And it's really intriguing because his dad was, by all accounts, even his own account, happy. Right? He was contented with who he was and what he achieved. And I'm not saying this to kind of argue for some kind of puritanical anti-hedonism or something, right? But I think it really does demonstrate how this yearning for more and to always try to commodify yourself and to commodify anything else around you can become temperamentally actuated across the entirety of our society in some really interesting and malicious ways, right? I remember there was a study done by Ian Shapiro, who's a democratic theorist at Yale, and he was looking at why it is that people want more money, even when they don't get any kind of concrete benefit from it, right? And he said, if you look at like ancient doctrines about marginal utility, not ancient doctrines, like modernist doctrines about marginal utility, every dollar that you should receive on top of a dollar that you have should become less and less valuable, right? If I have $1 million, having $10 million should be less meaningful than that. If I have $10 million, having $100 million should be less meaningful, and so on and so forth. But that's not the way these people tend to approach it. And Shapiro's conclusion is that the interesting thing is that people tend to approach money and other forms of social capital and gain, not according to doctrines of marginal utility, but rather the way addicts treat drugs, right? Where if your first hit is pretty good, but after that you need a bigger and bigger hit each time in order to get the same rush. And if that doesn't seem to embody this the ethos of this kind of achievement society, I don't know what does, right? It really is almost this kind of drug stimulating you to go further and further if you can, and never to feel satiated with what's achievable at any given moment.
Yeah, another good like metaphor for the shift along those lines too is taking drugs for headaches, for instance, right? Like a headache in the old society, the headache is something outside you, and you take a drug to cure the headache. And then in the new society, the drug is now causing the headache. It's you're becoming dependent on it. If you don't have it, you get headaches, basically. The drug causes it. It's almost like the pharmacon argument that Derrida, where the cure sort of shifts into becoming the poison, but it's internal and it's a dependency rather than something external. You have to build walls or defend against. You know, Trump is like the last gasp of the disciplinary society in this sort of way.